Open your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 13 and 14 this morning. We've been looking. I think we've got amplification here. In verses 13 and 14, it says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins." This phrase, really, it will be the content of my sermon, but yet it doesn't really stand alone. It has a context. This phrase, these two verses, relate to what went on before, and it's an explanation of what went on before. Not last week, but the week before, I looked at the first part of this section, and we talked about how Paul thanked God for their faith and their love for one another, and this faith and their love for one another sprang out of the hope that God had given them, the message of hope that God had given them. And then, going further down into the book, we see Paul pray for the Colossian Christians, praying that they would grow in the knowledge of God's will, that they would mature, and that they would know God more deeply. And while they were doing that, increasing in the knowledge of God, they would be, in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in the light. And then it says, "For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness." See, this "for," this word "for," is an explanatory thing. He's saying the reason he wants us to be strengthened, and strengthened with all power according to his might, so that we'd be steadfast and patient while we were joyously giving thanks to the Father, is because we've been rescued. It's because we've been transferred into Christ's kingdom. It's because we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. How do we survive? How do we go through life? How do we have joy in life and patience and endurance in spite of the troubles that we have? Well, we do it with God's power. We face our troubles, we face our difficulties with courage, but not only courage and patience and fortitude, but also with joy because of what God has done for us. It's the hope that God gives us that enables us to persevere. It's the hope that God gives us that enables us to go through all the way to the end and be happy about it, even though it hurts sometimes to get through it. Doesn't this life hurt? I mean, those of us who are getting older understand the intimate nature of hurting in this world. But there's a psychological and emotional and other kinds of hurt that are going on all of the time. And it's a hurt-filled world. But yet we can go through this world with joy. What? Knowing the hope that God has given us. Knowing that God has transferred us, rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, and that we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. We've been rescued and transferred. It's a very similar picture, and I'm pretty sure Paul must have had this in mind. There's a similar picture to what God does for the Christian and what God did for the Jewish person. The Jews were enslaved in Egypt, and they faced harsh servitude. They were being trodden down, and they were having their children slaughtered, and they were crying out to God. They were in a land of darkness. They were in a land where God's other gods were worshipped. They were in a land of ignorance. There was no knowledge of God in that land. And they were slaves. And what did God do? God rescued them. He took them out of that slavery. He took them out of that land, and he brought them out into a new land as a new kingdom. And becoming Christians is just like that. It's not what we do, it's what God does for us. God rescues us from the realm of darkness. God rescued us from the realm of Satan, from the realm of ignorance, into the kingdom of God's glorious line. We're children of light now. We're part of the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ. We know what spiritual reality is. We know what life is all about. We're not groping in the darkness. We're not banging into things, thinking what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. We're not being deceived anymore about what's good for us and what's not good for us and who we should be serving and why and how and all the rest of it. We belong to the kingdom of light. We belong to the kingdom of truth. We see. People talk about enlightenment, and really that's what we have in Christ. Eventually, when we hear about Jesus and we see what he's done on the cross, sometime along the way, the light bulb goes on and saying, what have I done with my life up to this point? This is what it's all about. The light bulb goes on. And we obey the gospel, and we're buried with Christ and leave the old man behind, and we're raised with Christ in our baptism to walk a new life, a life in the light, a light that we have decided to walk in. And so we can walk with joy because of where we belong and who we belong to. Sometimes, and it's a mistake we make, and we have to be careful about it, sometimes we walk about as children of the light, but we really think we're illegal aliens in the children of light. Like we don't have a green card. You ever feel that way? It's like, I hope I make it. You know, maybe God will figure out. You know, won't look too close when I get to the pearly gates, and he might let me in anyway. It doesn't work that way. It says here that God rescued us. Jesus rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us. God transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what it says. And if God does the transferring, if God does the rescuing, God does the transferring, what does that mean? We don't just have green cards, we have citizenship papers, okay? It's not like we're going to get kicked out. It's not like we don't belong. We do belong. We've been put there by God. That's why we can live joyously. I mean, you don't live joyously if you're wondering all of the time whether you're going to make it or not. You live joyously because God put me here and I belong. You live joyously because our sins were forgiven. We live joyously because we're new creatures. We're new people. We have a new citizenship. We belong to Jesus. We have the seal of his Spirit. And we belong to him. And he knows how to sort us out. And it wasn't because we're so great. It was in spite of the fact that we were so bad. Jesus died to pay for our sins. He paid. We didn't pay for our sins. We suffered because of our sins. Maybe we still suffer because of our sins. We suffer for other people's sins. We suffer because there's sin all around us, all the way back to Adam. But yet, Jesus' suffering is what paid for our sins. It's Jesus' sacrifice that paid for our sins. It was God himself who came in Christ to make payment for our sins, a payment that we could never make ourselves. And really, that's how he rescued us, isn't it? We have redemption in him, verse 14. We have redemption in Christ. And what that word means is we were bought back. The picture, the Old Testament picture especially, it was one of being bought back from slavery. If you were sold as a slave, how do you get your freedom back? Well, somebody's got to come up with the money to pay the master and buy you back. We were bought back. We belong to the kingdom of darkness. We were slaves to the king of darkness. We were slaves because of our own sins, and because of that, we were enslaved to darkness and sin. We're facing death and destruction, eternal ruin. And Jesus came along and he paid a price. He bought us. He bought us back. He redeemed us. Nowadays, I think most people, well, some people might, I don't have too much familiarity with it, but a pawn shop is probably the closest thing we get to the word redeemed. I mean, you go, you pawn something, the pawn shop owns it until you get up the money and pay back. And you buy it back. And that's the idea. We belong to God when we were born, but we abandoned him and we forsook him and we got enslaved to the dark side because of our own sins. And God bought us back because he loved us. He bought us back through Christ and we were redeemed. And if I've been bought back, I ought not to look like or sound like I was still a slave. Right? I've been bought back. There's a cause for joy. I've been released. And this is the final word that he uses here in verse 14. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All of those things that separated us from God, all of those actions, all of those thoughts and all of those words, all of those things that were in rebellion to God, some of which we did deliberately out of pride and selfishness, and some of those things that we did accidentally and didn't even know was wrong, all of the goop, that all of the junk that we polluted our life with and helped pollute the world with, all of those things were forgiven, were released. It all happened because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have forgiveness of sins. We weren't paroled, we were pardoned. And there's a difference. You know, if you're paroled, well, you got to check in with your parole officer and you have to make sure that you don't make a single mistake, and if you make a single mistake, you go back in the slammer. Isn't that the way it works? How many of us live that way? Living in fear that we might make a single mistake and God might come crashing in on us with his lightning bolts? And we've been pardoned. We better be pardoned, because we can't have a perfect parole period. I don't have a perfect parole period. I don't know about you. Try as I might, try as you might, we're not going to get it perfect. God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for loyalty. He's looking for us to be loyal and faithful to him. He knows he can't get perfection. And that's why it talks about growth here. If there's room for growth, that means there isn't perfection. Isn't that true? You know? And there's nothing in here that tells me that your growth has to reach a certain point before you're in. It says you're in and we're supposed to grow. Isn't that a cause for joy? Isn't that a cause for relief? Isn't that a cause for lightheartedness, maybe not giddiness, and maybe not foolishly have a big grin put on our face when we're suffering over various things, but we have an ace in the hole. We have something that can't be taken away from us ever. We can throw it out, we can neglect it, and we can let it go by. But if we hold on to it, we hold on to our loyalty to Christ, we've got it. And we ought to have lives of joy that show it. Jesus came so that we might live. He gave us this message of hope. He promised us his payment, his death was going to be for the forgiveness of our sins. It was a payment that he made, and he guaranteed that it was true and right and real, and the promise of the resurrection is true and right and real, because the tomb he went into dead, he came out of alive. And he went to heaven to be with the Father after that. So we know the eternal life that he came to offer us was real. And that message of hope is offered to us, and we receive it. We receive it by believing. We believe the message goes in our ears and it goes into our minds, and we believe that it's true. But it not only goes into our minds and causes us to trust in facts, but it also needs to work in our minds and our hearts so that we change the way we think and we change our goals in life. So that we have a change of heart and a change of mind. So that we know what is real and what isn't real and what is right and what is wrong. And we become convicted that we need to follow Christ and stop serving ourselves and stop following our own blind lifestyle. Because we need to be rescued from the darkness. If we listen to the message of hope and we believe it, it changes the way we see life. And we start to see how shoddy we really are. And a lot of people run away because they don't want to face that. But a lot of people recognize it and say, hey, I know what's being offered, and I don't like what I used to be, and I want to be something different, and I want to be rescued. And we repent, and after we repent, we're asked, well, what's next? Well, you've got to make a commitment. And that faith and that repentance has to express itself in baptism. We confess Jesus as being the Lord, and we say we want Jesus to be our Lord, and we commit ourselves to him. And when we're immersed into Christ, we're saying, I want Jesus' death to be counted as my death. And when I'm being raised, I want Jesus' resurrection to be counted as my resurrection. I want in on this thing. We're appealing to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ in our baptism. And so what happens? God rescues us from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are sons of God now. We're children of the King. We don't belong in this world anymore. This world is not my home. We're just passing through, right? Isn't that song true? And we can be joyful about that. And we know that we have a home prepared for us. And we know who we belong to. And we know that our passports that God has given us, the seal of the Holy Spirit, it cannot be forged. And we ought not to worry about whether we'll scoot through or not, unless we're playing around with being unfaithful to him. But, I mean, how many here really want to play around to be unfaithful to God? Don't you really want to just do what he wants? Most of us really try hard, and we want to do better than we are, and we feel bad because we don't do better than we do, but we want to do what's right, and we try to do what's right, and we ought to want to do what's right, try to do what's right. And as long as we have that desire and we're working on it and we're helping one another, we ought to feel confident that God will work with us and we will grow and become more fruitful it ought not to cause us to want to despair and say, well, forget this, I'm never going to measure up. Because God has never put down a passing grade. He never said, well, you got to live each day with at least 60% of your life in the light in order for you to make it. Or 75%. Does that mean I can goof around for 25? No, I'm not saying you can goof around. I mean, he died so that we might not sin. But what I'm saying is, we're supposed to grow in the light and we're supposed to dedicate ourselves to the right direction. And that is what God is looking at. And that's what God wants. As we walk in the light, His blood cleanses us from all sin. So please, understand what we have in Christ. If you haven't put on Christ, if you haven't committed yourself to Christ, if you haven't considered this message of hope, please hear more of it. Submit yourself to it. Take advantage of it. God's calling you to respond to the death of His Son. God's calling all of us to renew our loyalty to Him. And He's also calling us to a life of joy. He's not calling us to a life of dreary, sludging along, woe is me kind of stuff. If we've got Christ, if we're in Christ, we have Christ, we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, there is a joy that we have that cannot be taken away, even in the greatest of pain. Please enter into that. Please don't spoil the joy by focusing too much on here and now. Don't spoil the joy by not realizing His forgiveness, but reflect on the fact that belonging to God is the most important thing in the world. And if you're part of His kingdom, you've got it. You've got what is worth more than anything else in the world. If you want to take advantage of this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.